Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
We continue to study Mitzvah Ayin Beis, the 72nd, Mitzvah Ayin Gimel, the 73rd positive Mitzvah of the Torah, which is the sole Mitzvah that the Rambam devotes 9 chapters in Mishneh Torah to discussing and developing, and this is called the Mitzvah of Tshuva. Yesterday we learned in great detail that the Tshuva means resolve and regret, but the actual Mitzvah is to articulate, to give ear, to confess that one has done a sin. Now in the body, in the text of the Book of Mitzvahs, the Rambam demonstrates how this is not specific to certain sins or certain situations, but rather it applies to all of the sins across the boards. The verse that we finished last night with, yesterday we talked about in the Parsha of Vayikra, the Psukim, the verses of the Torah that discuss a grouping of different sins for which one has to bring a korban chatas, a sin offering, which is called ole v'yored, meaning it depends on your wealth, it depends on your station of life. That's the kind of sacrifice you have to bring, more expensive or a less expensive korban. And those mitzvahs relate directly to the impurity of the Beis HaMikdash or the material that's in the Beis HaMikdash, kachim. So you would think, okay, if somebody violates in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, then he has to do tshuva in the sense that he has to articulate. It's part of that particular mechanism. Just like you have to bring a korban, you have to articulate before Hashem, be misvade. Says the Rambam, that is not so. And therefore, it states in the Mechilta that if we would only have this pasuk, then we would have erroneously thought that the chiyuv of vidui, that the obligation of confessing, is only l'tame migdash, only for defiling the sanctity, the holiness and the purity of that which is temple-centric or related to sacrifices. How do we know with certainty that the other mitzvahs are also included? That means if you violate one of these mitzvahs, either the sin of omission, where you didn't do a positive mitzvah that you were supposed to do, or a sin of commission, where you actually committed an action, a deed, which contravenes the will of Hashem. Omar, we have another pasuk in the Chumash of Bamidbar, in the book of Numbers, that says, Dabar el b'nei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, v'hisvadu, and they will confess. So since it says that in an unqualified manner, speak to the children of Israel and they will confess, we learn that this is not only applicable to the specific sin of metame migdash v'kodashov, but rather it's applied in a broad sense for all mitzvahs. Uminayin af mitzvahs v'kreisis, maybe mitzvahs that are not extremely egregious or very bad, those kind of mitzvahs tshuva is effective for us, tshuva is meaningful. But the kind of sin for which the Torah warrants a capital punishment, or the kind of sin which the Torah says that one who engages in this cuts himself off, severs himself from the Jewish people, from a spiritual source, which is called kares, perhaps that kind of sin, tshuva is not effective, tshuva is not meaningful for. So it says the Rambam, it says, if you would have said, meant that it should be applying to all sins, it should have said, chatosam, their sins. Why does it say, kol chatosam? It adds the word kol, which is similar to the limud that many of us are familiar with from the Haggadah, right? Yimei chayecha, the days. Kol yimei chayecha, all of the days the Torah is coming to add something. So the word kol is used to include, l'rabbeis mitzvahs leisasei, to include all kinds of mitzvahs leisasei, regardless of how serious they may be, how serious or egregious and a violation of Hashem's will they are. And then it says the word kiyasu. Kiyasu means you do. So that is, l'rabbeis comes to include mitzvat asei, the entire gamut of positive mitzvahs, that if somebody misses the opportunity to do a mitzvah, does not put on tefillin, doesn't sit in a sukkah, doesn't listen to the shofar, etc., that this would be a sin for which tshuva could be effective. The Rambam now says, perhaps this is only sins that are in contravention to the will of God when they deal with a revolt against Hashem. Hashem said you should do or shouldn't do something, and a person didn't listen to God. How's about when somebody sins against another person? What about somebody who hurts, who injures, who shames, who causes loss? So how do we know this? It says, Mikol chatos ha'adam, from all the sins of a person. Since it says not only chatosam, but mikol chatos ha'adam, anything a person does. So this already touches on the interpersonal relationship. Somebody who does something to hurt somebody else, alag nevis, v'alag zelis, v'alashen hara, which would include theft, brazen robbery, taking something that doesn't belong to you, and the slander. And the word limoil, which means to violate, that lerabbis includes hanishba b'shem lashoker v'hamakalil, the person who uses Hashem's name falsely. He invokes an oath falsely, and there's a number of different kind of oaths that one could invoke and violate this mitzvah. Or a makalil, somebody who chas v'shalom uses Hashem's name as part of an imprecation, a curse. V'oshma hanefesh, the soul has its guilt. Lerabbis kol chayovim misa sheyisvadu, that everybody who warrants a death penalty, even though the death penalty and the pain of death would remove the stain of sin, nonetheless, that person would first have to confess, and that is the halacha, that before a person would be put to death for a capital punishment offense that he was convicted of, the person would have to confess. In fact, the question is asked in the Gemara. What happens if a person knows he didn't really do the sin? He was framed. He knows he didn't do it. And he was convicted. And the court is convinced of his guilt, even though he himself knows his innocence. So the Rambam, the rules la halacha, quoting the Talmud, that says the person should also confess. He should confess on his sins. And he says, for some reason, Hashem willed it so, that his life should come to a premature end. He must have done something else, whatever. The will of Hashem, he can't question. If the Beis Din made such a decision, so it was supposed to be. And he should act with faith, and he should say, vidui, before they take his life. Now, you would think that this refers to any kind of situation. That Rambam says there is one kind of capital punishment that a person who is convicted wrongly would not have to confess, and that is something called Edim Zomimin. It's a very complicated and nuanced concept, but to try to gloss over and oversimplify, if a person offers testimony, and then that testimony is later contested, not by somebody who says opposing testimony, because then after all, you just have two witnesses, each pair is giving testimony about something else. So why should you value one over the other? But we're talking here when the testimony is given, imanu hayisim, which means that you could not have given this testimony because you were with us. So the second set of witnesses do not contradict the first set of witnesses. They invalidate them. They so to speak, remove the foundation. They pull out the ground, the rug from underneath them. So in this case, the Rambam says, Le'amarti elva ashma hanefeshahi, when there's guilt. Kilaimar she'eni chayv lehisvades, the person is not obligated to confess, im yoda shaleichot, if he knows he did not sin, elohiidu olav edisheker, that false witnesses came, then he does not have an obligation, although the appropriate thing is, despite that it says in the Gemara, to say, to confess regardless. Hine nitba'er lecha, you now have explained to you, says the Rambam, I have demonstrated to you, and in detail, based on the writing of the Mechilta, shal kol sugi hachatoyim hachamurim v'hakalim, that for all sins, the sins which are considered more serious, the heavy offenses, as well as the sins which are of lesser weight, v'afilo mitzvahs asay, and even in the lack of fulfilling a positive mitzvah, a sin of omission, chayovim aleim v'day, all of these sins necessitate confession. And since it says with this specific command, v'hisvadu means yachad im chiyav hakarbon, together with the bringing of the sacrifice, we could have assumed or thought she'ein avidu levada mitzvah b'fnei atzma, that confession alone is not a mitzvah, it's a detail in a mitzvah. It's a part of the mitzvah of bringing the karbon, that there's a mitzvah to bring a korban, a sacrifice, under a certain set of circumstances, under a particular set of realities. So when you have to bring this korban, one detail of bringing the korban is confession. You could have thought that. Just like when you bring a korban, there are many detailed halachas. Different korbanos are cut up in different ways and skinned in different ways, and different parts are offered, and it's not a number of different mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah called Karban Chatos. There's one mitzvah called Karban Asham. There's one mitzvah called Karban Arla V'Yerda. There's one mitzvah, and it includes all those details. So one could have thought that the detail of confession is another detail in the Karban. Therefore, the Mechilta says, don't think so. Then you might have thought that when you bring a Karban, that's when you have to confess. Minayin sha'af bizman sha'ein mevi'in. How do you know that this is applicable even in a time when no sacrifice is brought? Omar daber al bnei Yisrael, the Torah says, speak to the children of Israel, v'hisvadu, full stop, v'hisvadu, in any situation. Now, tomorrow we will finish learning this mitzvah. The Rambam is now going to talk about, in the last part of the mitzvah, he's going to talk about the geographic possibilities. You might think that somebody has to confess only in a specific, not only a specific reality, but only in a specific place. And we'll finish it off, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow. But just to help us appreciate this mitzvah, I want to share with you some of what the Rambam says in the second chapter of Hilchas Tshuva. What is tshuva, gemura? What is complete tshuva? It's a rhetorical question. What is complete tshuva? The Rambam says complete tshuva means that you find yourself in a situation with all the possibilities you had at the time that you sinned. And despite the fact that you have every possibility, you choose not to sin because you did tshuva, because you expressed remorse and regret for your activities. That, he says, that is complete tshuva. If you don't do the aveda because you're afraid of getting caught this time, I got caught last time, and it was very uncomfortable, so I really would like to do the aveda. In fact, I'm actually even considering doing this aveda, but oy vey, what if they catch me again? So because I'm afraid of being caught, I won't do it. You can't say it's not tshuva at all. It's not tshuva gemura. That's not complete tshuva. Or mikishlan koyach, a person's weak. Once he had koyach, he could do this thing. Now he can't do his aveiros anymore. And the Rambam gives a very graphic example. He says a person could have been in a forbidden relationship, a forbidden intimacy. And then it came a time a little bit later when he had all the same possibilities. And he was alone with the same person. And he still has the same desire, the same affection. And he still has the same wherewithal. And it's the same place even. Sometimes, you know, in one place I'm comfortable, so same place. All of the same circumstances have now repeated themselves. Upirish v'le'avar, and the person said, no, it's wrong. I'm not doing it because Hashem said it's wrong, because I regret doing it last time. Zehu, says the Rambam, now you have discovered the Baal Teshuva Gemura, the total and absolute Baal Teshuva. The Rambam bases this on a verse in the book of Kohelet. Shlomo HaMelech says, about when he's talking about tshuva, Uzchor et borecha b'yemei b'chorasecha. You should remember your Creator when you're young, when you're still filled with strength, when you still have wherewithal and ability. However, if a person doesn't do tshuva until they're old and no longer capable, so a person, for example, ate non-kosher food, he loved his non-kosher meat, the sirloin steak, and now he's old and he has no teeth and he can't chew the steak anyway, so he regrets eating all that steak. Now, even if the sirloin steak came in front of him, he wouldn't be able to eat it if he wanted to anyway. He can't even enjoy it anymore. But nonetheless, he regrets what he did. And he regrets what he did when he could have done it. So, it is tshuva. That's tshuva. And you cannot say it's worthless. It's not a tshuva me'ula, says the Rambam. It's not the best tshuva. It's not the finest grade of tshuva. However, mayelasi, it does work. It does have an effect. Ubal tshuva, he is a Baal tshuva. In fact, the Rambam says even if somebody were to go through life as a Baal Aveda, doing all kinds of inappropriate sins, ubiyom mitato, on the day of his death, he does tshuva. And he dies with regret and remorse for the sins that he did, says the Rambam, kol avonatav nimcholin, all of his sins can be forgiven. And he bases that further, that in the verse in Kehelas it says, as long as the sun doesn't set. So he says metaphorically, this means the sun of life. So as long as your day hasn't come to an end, it's not sunset, then a person can still do tshuva. So now we know what the best tshuva is, and now we know what the minimal amount of tshuva is. So what is tshuva? The Rambam says, sheyazov hachote cheto, that the person abandons, leaves behind his sin. V'yasiro mimachashavto, he pushes it away. He doesn't contemplate or ruminate on this. V'yigmar b'liba, he makes up, he concludes in his heart, shelo yaseo od. He will no longer do this. This is based on a verse in the book of Isaiah. Yeshayahu Hanavi says, Ya'azov rasha darko, that the wicked person abandons his path. He leaves that path behind. And he has to regret what he did in the past. As it says in the book of Yirmiyahu, the prophet Yirmiyahu said, Ki achar eshuvi nichamti, after I did tshuva, I indeed regret it. And then, v'yoyed olav yedei talumis, the one who is the knower of secrets, the knower of mysteries. Who is that? Who knows all mysteries? God. So God says, witness, shele yoshuv lezeh achet le'ilam, that the person will never sin again. That's a Baal Tshuva. So the Kesef Mishnah and the Lecha Mishnah, important commentaries on the Rambam, ask, one second, how could God say testimony? If God's saying testimony, that means there's no freedom of choice left. There's no freedom of choice, there's no mitzvah, there's no Yiddishkeit. The most important and essential ingredient in living a life of righteousness is the ability to choose good or bad. If a person is yoyed olav yedei talumis, if God says, who knows all mysteries, that person won't do any aveda, la yoshev lezeh achet le'ilam, that means he no longer has a choice. So the Kesef Mishta answers, it means he accepts upon himself with such sincerity that it says, if God could say witness, that he wouldn't sin again. That's the kind of sincerity he expresses. It doesn't mean the person doesn't have freedom of choice, and it is distinctly possible that a person should be 100% sincere, and he should do tshuva, and despite the fact that he did tshuva, unfortunately later on, he turns the wrong way again. It's possible. It doesn't mean he didn't do tshuva the first time. And then, after doing all this, says the Rambam, "Bitzarech lehisvades besvasov," then he must confess verbally, moving his lips, the lomar, and he has to say, "I have full regret." So we talked about the mitzvah. And the mitzvah in the book of mitzvahs, it says, is the confession, the articulation, the saying, I did, I acknowledge. So what happens if a person is misvade bedvarim? He gets up there and he says, oh God, al chet, I'm sorry, I did this, I did that. But deep in his heart, he has no intention of leaving it behind. Or he has an intention, but he didn't really come to a full resolution. He didn't resolve fully. He feels bad. He regrets, but it's not a full regret. It's not full resolve. Is that worth anything? So listen to the example the Rambam uses. There's something called a rodent that is impure, that brings with it ritual impurity. And we'll learn about that in Mirtz Hashem later on. It's called the sheretz. So if you touch a sheretz, if you touch this rodent, you're ritually impure. There are eight kinds of rodents. So what do you have to do? You have to go to a mikveh. So what happens if somebody goes to the mikveh, but in his hand, he's holding the rodent? It's called tovel, the sheretz biyado. He goes in the mikveh, but he's holding the sheretz. Does it help? Is it effective? Ein hatvila mo elatlo. The tvila will not be effective ad sheyash lechasheretz until you throw away the rodent. So too, when a person does tshuva, meaning he fulfills this mitzvah, and as we said yesterday, the Rambam says the mitzvah is to say. Sure, he says, the mitzvah is to say. You did the mitzvah, you said all the right things with no intention. Said all the right words. You read it with a beautiful tune. You said the alchet like a master chazan. Only you didn't mean a word you said. Or you meant it, but you weren't fully sincere. That's like a person who goes to the mikveh and is holding the sheretz, and it doesn't work. Now, I should tell you, it's not fully effective. It doesn't mean it's meaningless. It's not entirely meaningless, because the Me'iri writes in his book of tshuva, his compilation of tshuva called Chibur HaTshuva, that the Rambam uses the example of tovel v'sheretz biyado very carefully. It's a carefully chosen example. And that means that even though the person is not fully pure, however, he did go to the mikveh. So that's a good thing. In fact, all he has to do is throw away the sheretz. In other words, you went to the mikveh. Going to the mikveh is a good thing, but there's something that's standing in the way of the mikveh's efficacy. That's the holding of a sheretz. So the tovel is there. However, the sheretz gets in the way. It's not as if you did nothing. In the language of the Me'iri, Yesh kan pa'ula tova. There is a good deed. There is a good deed. In other words, the ma'aseh tshuva, the act of tshuva, which has the power to atone, you did it. You did the act of tshuva. There's a problem, though. The problem is that act of tshuva is being held back. There's an impediment. Something is refraining it. Something is holding it back. There's an obstacle. And the obstacle is you didn't have full sincerity. And therefore, the Rebbe says that in all likelihood, we could suggest that the Rambam means that this example is exact. And the person who says vidui, even if it's not fully sincere, there is meaning to it. It is the fulfillment of a mitzvah. And as long as at some point the person could finally regret what he did, then this would be a very effective and meaningful thing. In other words, even going through the motions, sometimes meaningful too. And even if a person doesn't fully regret, the very fact that a person did come to shul, and he did open the siddur, and he did say the alchet, and he had a sense of contriteness and some sincerity, only deep in his heart he knows, I can't do this, it's not going to work, I really feel bad about it. It's not as if we can dismiss it out of hand. There is an act of tshuva, and it's a good thing, and it's an important thing, and it's even a meaningful thing. Only its efficaciousness is being impeded by the fact that there isn't full sincerity. So as long as the person could follow up and we could get to some sincerity, then surely this pa'ula tova would not only be a good deed, but would become a pa'ula mo'elet, an effective deed in cleansing the person from this concept of sin. Sin divides us from Hashem. It separates us from our Maker. And the moment a person does tshuva, then he becomes reunited with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we will, Amir Tz Hashem, talk about tomorrow. And that concludes today's share.